Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, I'm a Coronation Street fan. Without any shadow of a doubt, I think I've missed three episodes in my whole life. We're going to go right to the root of the thing tonight. We always talk about the soaps on a Monday going into Tuesday. I want to say hello to Alison Sinclair, who is Senior Communications Publicist, everything in charge of Coronation Street, and works at ITV Granada. And she's just lovely. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
I'm so glad you've joined us. I'm really glad, because you are the busiest lady in the world, and you're at the end of a phone 24 hours a day, along with your team, because, you know, I won't pick anything out. You've been through a lot of crises over the years that you work for them, haven't you?
Oh, 21 years I've been at Corrie now, 21 years this summer. And, yeah, there's been lots of ups and downs, but more ups than downs. And, you know, sort of a really exciting show to work on. No 2 days are the same. So, you know, I'm blessed, really, to work on this show.
How did you get into it? I've got to ask.
I was a journalist. I moved over from the dark side. I was a journalist in Liverpool. And I was offered various different jobs in London as a journalist and wanted to stay in the Northwest and wanted to work in television, following in my old dad's footsteps. So I applied for a job at Granada, started off looking after sort of regional news and factual programmes, and then moved on to the cobbles, as they say.
Right, you mentioned your dad. Everyone's going to say, I wonder where dad is. Go on, he's a legend.
He is a legend. He's a bit of a Radio City legend as well. Yeah. Roger Blythe. Yeah. So I would imagine some of your older listeners will know who he was. He was he had the old gravelly voice, Rog, and he was also a presenter on Granada Reports with Bob Greaves and Bob Smithies. And yeah, he was a bit of a legend. So I spent many years when I was younger going into the old Granada building. So it was a sad day when we left just before Christmas, but for many reasons. But for me personally, for that reason, yeah.
And he was a traditional, old-fashioned, real journalist.
He was a hack. He was, you know, he taught me everything I know. He taught me what a story was. He also taught me how to deal with crises and how to get stories out that, you know, you don't want in the paper. And, yeah, absolute superstar. He told it like he was, like it was. He was a Yorkshireman through and through. And, you know, he said what he liked, and he liked what he said, without the swearing. And he liked to pint, and he loved a news story, and he had a real nose for news. And I like to think that, you know, he taught me a lot, and I've managed to put it all to good use.
Alison, if he was still alive, do you think he would be very disappointed the way journalism's gone?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I think he probably would. He was always very fair. He was somebody who believed in getting to the root of a story, but through the right methods, making sure that people learnt things that they needed to know. And I think he'd have been probably not surprised, but he certainly was someone who had scruples and always did everything the right way.
Alison, I've said it in my column in The Echo, and I've said it on the radio before, and you're a very modest lady, so you won't say it. I'll say it for you. People don't realise how important you and your team are, do they?
I think we're sort of people that people don't really think about when watching the show, which is a good thing. But, you know, if you're looking at a cover of TV Times or What's on TV magazine, or you're reading an interview in a newspaper, or you're seeing someone on the sofa on This Morning or chatting on a radio show, the chances are that me and my team have made that happen. And my job is to let people know what's happening in the show and talk about the good things about the show, but then also to deal with things, you know, when they might go sort of slightly wrong. And sometimes the biggest success I've had is something that people won't know about, because you've managed to sort of stop something, a crisis from happening or crisis from getting into the press, and helped, you know, stop someone having, you know, a real problematic day, you know, or causing the program being caused a problem because of that. So sometimes it's what doesn't happen which sort of measures the success of what I do. But most of the time it's getting people talking about Corrie and getting them excited about what's coming up, but without giving too much away.
Now, once again, like your dad, you've come through the old school, and for 21 years you've seen changes. Now, you know that there was always ethics where if you said to us, please don't print that story, we would not do it. It's all changed there as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, but I still have a very good relationship with the press, and I think that's really important, and I think respect is really important. And the press have been given a really bad name, you know, and it's a small number of people. There's a lot of people out there who still want to do the job properly and tell those stories. And there's important things that need telling, and you know, great journalists do that and bring that to people's attention. And, you know, what I do now, people might say, you know, it's a little bit frivolous and that, you know, it's entertainment. But, you know, I don't lose sight of the fact that I started out in news, and, you know, I did enjoy that side of it. And the press have been given a bad name, and I do think that's a shame for the sake of a few people who have gone down the wrong route and done things the wrong way. But, you know, I still think that, you know, the British press is, you know, probably still one of the best in the world.
Now, it's interesting that you protect your artists, which is part of your job. Now, a lot of artists are very high profile, some more than others, but there are some that just will not court publicity and refuse it, don't they? And, of course, we're thinking of the actress who plays Emily Bishop. And they respect her for that, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if people don't want to do publicity, that is absolutely, you know, their choice. Most people are really, really happy to talk about their job and what they do. Some people are really, really happy to talk about their life. And you know, that is absolutely their choice. But, yes, there are some people who want to remain very, very private. And I have to say that the media do respect that. And, you know, when somebody makes that decision that they want to come in, get on with the day job and keep their head down and go home at the end of the day, then, you know, that is respected by people. And you know, there are still great morals and great ethics out there, you know, across all forms of media.
Do you still have to pinch yourself that you're working on such a legendary show?
I do. I absolutely love it. And it's been a real shift because in January we moved to the new site. And that's been a real, for me, after 21 years in the same job, to suddenly turn up at this amazing new site that we've got on Trafford Wharf Road, just across the way from Media City. It's incredible, Pete, and yes, I absolutely do. There's, you know, I never get that Monday morning feeling. I absolutely love my job. I love the people that I work with. And it's a real cliche. People think it's a cliche when we say it's a family at Corrie, but it is. I've shown you around, you've had a look around, and there's such a warm feeling and such a real feeling of camaraderie. And yeah, I'm really, really lucky to do a job that I love, and not everyone can say that.
This is a hard question for you to answer, but an easy question to answer, but I know you'll answer it truthfully because it's a strange question. But because you work with them, because you see it being made, because you're completely and utterly, utterly involved, when you sit down and watch an episode, can you see it as a piece, or are you just constructive, saying, shouldn't have done that, should have done this?
No, I see it as a drama. I mean, I watched it tonight, the Maria and Marcus stuff. Yeah. And you know, when we went to the ad break in the at 8 o'clock tonight, and you know, you knew, and I obviously knew what was going to happen, that she was going to walk in. I was like, oh, and I sort of put myself in other people's feet who don't know, you know, who you know, have an idea of what might be about to happen. Yeah. And what I love doing is I love watching with other people, family members, you know, my mom or, you know, my gran, and talking to people about the show. Because, yes, you know, I currently know what's going to happen right up to June. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't watch it, you know, like a viewer who doesn't know what's going to happen. But I thoroughly enjoy the performances. And, you know, I think there's a really talented group of people. And I can watch it and enjoy it as a great piece of drama and a brilliantly written piece of drama.
Well, that's fantastic that you can enjoy that like that. That's cool.
Yeah, it is. It's good. Very lucky to be able to, you know, do my job, but then sit down tonight and watch an hour of drama and actually enjoy it for that.
Tell me, as you've been there for 21 years, I know it's not your department in any shape or form, but would the writers ever say to you, Alison, what do you think?
Oh, I go to long-term story conference. So
great.
Three times a year we have story conference where we look sort of quite a long way ahead and look at a big story arc of what's going to happen sort of, you know, between now and Christmas or beyond. And I'm very much part of that, and I'm you know, sort of accepted as very much part of that process. And we'll often chat about things, and sometimes things will come up, and I can perhaps see that that might be problematic from a press point of view. It might get picked up and skewed a different way, and you know, they will. They're very good. They'll sort of listen, and I'm able to chat and be part of that creative process. I mean, they're a very, very, very talented group of people, the storyliners, the producers, the writers. And, you know, I would never, ever, you know, believe that I could be in their league. But it's great to be part of that process and sit chatting about stories and over, you know, over dinner of an evening when we've had conference to be part of that is brilliant. And I'm very, you know, I'm very proud to be part of that.
Now, you're incredibly protective about Coronation Street. That's one of the pluses for you, and you do your job in really well. Do you get disappointed when certain people have a go at the show or have a go at the actors, and you look at them and you think, there was really no need to say that?
I think when it comes to reviewing the programme, there's two types of things that what you're talking about there. When it comes to reviewing the programme, I think everyone's entitled to an opinion. And if we all liked the same thing, if we all found the same drama entertaining, if we all found the same things funny, then there wouldn't be the variety that there is, and life would be very, very dull. So, you know, I get annoyed if it becomes personal about how someone looks, or, you know, if I think that, you know, someone's getting criticised unjustly when, you know, they've done a brilliant job. But then, you know, it is... reviews are what they are. I mean, you know, when I do read a lot of rubbish, you know, in newspapers and magazines and things that are completely untrue, and you know, I know they're untrue, and I've tried to get across that they're untrue, but they still appear, and it's incredibly frustrating, and particularly when it's people's real lives. I also get very, very frustrated with storyline leaks, and, you know, whoever it is, you know, within the programme or connected to the programme that thinks it's, you know, it's clever and is earning them money or whatever to sell, you know, storyline leaks or programme information, even, you know, and stuff about people's private lives. I just think, how do they sleep at night? And that's what gets me very, very cross. And you know, I've spent 21 years wondering, you know, who it could be along the way, and it's obviously lots of different people. I don't know why they do it, but then again, I suppose it's a testimony to the popularity of the programme that there is a currency in that. And so, you know, I suppose you've got to take the rough with the smooth, really.
As a phone-in presenter, I love the soaps for another reason, because, and a lot of people don't understand how seriously they take some of the storylines, how much work and research goes into it. And in fact, although it's a piece of entertainment, a piece of drama, it's also helping with a message. And you've broken some unbelievable storylines, haven't you?
No, I mean, it is really important. You know, we're not issue-led in the sort of the days of Brookside, when Brookside were brilliant with, you know, they were very, very issue-led. We're a very different sort of show. We're character-led. But out of those characters and out of the storylines come some amazing issues as a consequence. And if you are going to be, you know, reaching out to 10 million people five times a week, you've got to make sure that that's accurate. You have to. Otherwise, you are doing a disservice to people who have got brain injuries, or, you know, people who are going through cancer treatment and deciding, you know, how they want their final days to be. Or, you know, people who, you know, are going through a sex change or crisis, you know, over, you know, their sexuality, you know, sort of wondering, you know, sort of what avenue where their life is taking them. And you have to explore that properly. And we have a brilliant, brilliant team of researchers, a couple of them who work very closely with charities or organisations. So once within the story conference, we know that we're going to be looking, a storyline has led towards an issue. then, for example, Nick with his brain problems. We worked very closely with a charity called Headway, and our researchers spoke to neurologists and people who work with people with brain injuries. And actually, some of them came in to talk to Ben Price, who plays Nick, and I sat in on that interview and he sort of chatted to them and learned an awful lot. And it's really, really important, because if you get it a little bit wrong, then you could be giving the message out wrong. And, you know, we're not a public information broadcast. We are a drama. And there always has to be some allowance, you know, dramatic license. But fundamentally, you have to get your facts straight, be it a court case, you know, be it an injury or an illness. You have to get it right. And that's all part of it. And the writers, you know, are very lucky that we have such a great research team. And when the storyline document comes out, half of that document, the document's about an inch thick, half of that is research notes for the storylines that we're discussing. And that's really important.
And, of course, you've got your own Coronation Street within Coronation Street, because you, 21 years, must get incredibly sad when a lovely actor or actress leaves after being there for so long.
Yeah, you do. We were talking about this the other day, and obviously, you know, I've seen a lot of people come and go. People go, then come back. And that's always lovely when someone comes back. You know, I've seen sort of Jane Danson left and then came back. Beverly Callard obviously came back and is just brilliant back in the Rovers. But actually, it is bizarre, because there's just a certain feel about that place that somebody goes, and yes, it's sad, and we miss Julie Eisenhower terribly. But their spirit lives on, and somebody said when we moved, you know, that they, I think it was Tony Warren, he said he hoped the spirits got on the right bus to Trafford Wharf Road, and they have, and that spirit is still there, and people keep in touch, you know, they come back and they come and visit us, and the fact of the matter is the star of that programme is that cobbled street and all the history that it holds, and long may that be the case, really.
To be a baddie, do they have, as a press person, do they have problems? Todd is our new baddie, and what a baddie. What an irritating, incredibly attractive, irritating, yeah. Irritating, horrible little man.
Oh, I know, and I think that's brilliant, and I think Bruno is playing that brilliantly, because we deliberately brought him back as a different character. Yeah, yeah. He's gone through things that, you know, have made him very unhappy. And I always think that nasty people are very unhappy people. And that's why they're nasty. And that's what we're showing in Todd. And do they have problems? I don't know. I think maybe a little bit more in the past they used to.
Right.
When there wasn't social media, when there weren't TV programs, when people maybe weren't in the press as much, and actually the public didn't differentiate so much between what they saw on screen and the real persona. And these days, you know, Bruno Langley's on Twitter and he chats to people, and I think people, you know, they love Jack Shepherd. He's been one of the best baddies we've ever had, but he has got a massive following and people love him. And I do think viewers are very intelligent these days, and there's so many different programmes and things that they watch, and more so these days, you know, with the days of Johnny Briggs getting hit over the brolly in Sainsbury's, you know, when he was having the affair with Deirdre, are long gone. I think people, they might like to shout the odd sort of funny comment, but no, they do know the difference.
The New Street, the programme the other night, I just can't watch it. I watch it in 5 minutes. I just keep watching 5 minutes and switching off. I don't want it to end.
Really?
Watch the street being built. Oh, I just love that programme.
It was fantastic, wasn't it? Made me cry.
It made me cry.
Yeah.
And I've only watched, I'm about just under halfway through. I honestly put it, because you know I'm a fanatic.
Yeah.
So I don't want it to end.
Is it like a box of chocolates? You just keep opening up and having one.
That's the one. You must be pleased with that programme.
Oh, I hadn't watched it. I could have watched it beforehand, and I thought, no, I'm going to watch it in real time. And I love watching the programme in real time and seeing what people, having that shared experience with, you know, 9-10 million people. But that absolutely bowled me over. I was really, really moved, because it was moving was very moving, but I hadn't realised just how much. And, you know, the day that we walked out of that building and I sort of looked back behind me and was putting some boxes in my car, and I felt a bit of a shiver, but I felt it again watching that programme. And, you know, it was incredible when you think of all the memories. And I don't know if you've got to the bit yet, but they found a load of old footage behind the scenes filming.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that was incredible.
Yeah. What I love about the programme, it makes people realise exactly how serious you take it, down to the moss being planted. It's all that. People have no idea.
I know. And to be honest, even some of that, you know, I knew a lot of what had happened, but even some of that was news to me. And I was showing someone round the other day, the new street, and I just was blown away by the attention to detail. And it's very strange standing on that street because your brain thinks you are in Salford, thinks you are near the city centre. Mm-hmm. And you expect to walk out of the gate and the city centre be there. It is so perfect. It is such a brilliant... Okay, it's slightly bigger, but once your brain adjusts to that... Mm-hmm. It's incredible. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And you know, the design team, just absolutely superb. And the build team, just incredible. The work that they did over that 2 years. And it's a joy, an absolute joy.
Do you have a total cost figure on it?
I don't know. It's probably best that I don't know. But, yeah, put it this way, a lot of money. But how fantastic, though, Pete, and this is what we were saying the other day, to work for a company that has got the sort of... the courage and the foresight to invest millions of pounds, you know, in a purpose-built site for a programme that's been going for 53 years. We had a visit to Kevin Hart. I don't know if you or your listeners know Kevin Hart. He's big, going to be sort of the next Eddie Murphy, big American movie star. And he was in the UK and he'd been at BBC Breakfast and he asked to come over and have a look around Corrie. He'd heard about Corrie. And he was absolutely blown away that this one site had been built for one program, because even the biggest shows in America are just on temporary sites, temporary lots. Yeah. And that's amazing that ITV have, you know, have done that and invested in that show.
Tell me, did Tony Warren go round it while it was being built, or did he wait?
No, he went a few times. Right. And he, you know, he's a regular visitor. You know, hopefully we see him about once a month. He'll come, and he's very much part of the show. And he always meets up with whoever the producer is of the time and has dinner with them and says what he likes and what he doesn't like. And when he came in the other day, he was he bumped into a couple of the newer sort of cast who all know who he is. And you know, when he says to them, "You're fantastic," you can see them just glowing, thinking, "Oh, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you."
So, what does he think of the new build?
He loves it, absolutely loves it. And, yeah, so it's nice to get the seal of approval from the man himself.
Whereabouts are your offices from the street?
I can see the street at about, I don't know, 100 yards from our offices. I can see the street. And, it's like a film lot, it really is.
And what's going to happen with the old street? They're opening it up?
April the 5th. Mm-hmm. Tickets are on sale now. It opens April the 5th for a limited time period. I'm not sure of the exact time scale. And for tours. And I think they're going to be amazing. There's going to be lots of information, lots of things, lots of behind-the-scenes sneak peeks that you didn't get on the old tours when they were open. So it is different. You know, if people went on the old tour, they shouldn't think that they've sort of seen it, because this is very much, you know, the sets that we used and lots of behind-the-scenes information and sneak peeks at, you know, a dressing room and things like that.
The awards are coming round, aren't they?
They are, yes. The voting opened this morning for the British Soap Awards, so we're really, really just hoping. If people have enjoyed the year, it's been an amazing year. I mean, you know, the Hayley stuff, all the, you know, the plats, Tina and Peter and Carla, there's been so much going on and there's so much more yet to come. So, yeah, just if your listeners could vote, it's on the British Soap Awards website. That would be fantastic.
So they just go onto the website to vote?
Just go onto the website. www.britishsoapawards.tv.
I've got to tell you a storyline that's irritating me beyond belief.
Go on.
Yeah, but it's fabulous. Is the Scouse Builder... and what is going to happen over... because they're not going to put up with all this. He hit him with a plank. They are not going to put up with all this. It's driving
me. Isn't Conor McIntyre the most fantastic? Oh, and you know, he's like a giant teddy bear in real life. He's the nicest, nicest man. No, that is going to get much darker. And I think poor old Anna is the one who... is going to find herself, you know, finding herself in a place where she doesn't want to be. Gary is going to continue to try and take the law into his own hands, and Owen is going to find out things about his family that he wished he never knew. So, you know, Phelan has not done his worst yet. There is much worse to come.
And let's never forget Phelan's bitch of a wife.
I know. I mean,
she's
fantastic
she's
character.
A madam.
She is a madam. She is a madam. But, of course, we've got another Scouser, although he's not playing a Scouser. Les Dennis's first episodes are
Monday.
Yeah. So he's just in for two episodes on Monday as this burglar, but he's not a Scouser. Mm. People were saying, "Oh, typical! Yeah. You've cast him, but he's not a Scouser. The character is Lancastrian." And then we actually won't see him until he's back on screen in June, and we're going to look at a restorative justice storyline.
Oh, fab.
Where, you know, sort of where you get the chance to talk to the person that. Yep. So Gail and the Platts get the chance to meet this person who's broken into their house, and actually, from that, a very unlikely friendship will form, which will develop.
I did hear a little whisper, not from you, I think it was one of them sources, that there might be a little relationship forming.
Well, very possibly, yes, very possibly. You know Gail, she's never gone for a goodie, has she?
Unless... Les has had his moments when he was with Russ Abbott, so he'll be all right.
Oh, he's such a lovely man. Wow. Very, very excited about him being, you know, sort of part of the show properly. He starts filming with us again in April.
As we speak, he's been to the Everyman tonight to see Jodie, his lovely niece, who is a fabulous actress, in Twelfth Man.
Brilliant.
Twelfth Man. That was the pub I used to go to.
Yes, or 12 Angry Men.
We've taken enough of your time. I'm so glad you've spoken to us. I've always wanted to do this because long may Coronation Street survive, but I think you and your team are the unsung heroes that never get talked about. And really, if it wasn't for press, the job would be a lot harder for what they did at Corrie.
Well, thank you very much. And you know, but also it's about us having the right relationship with people like you and keeping talking about the show. So keep watching. There's loads of great stuff to come. And, give us your votes if you can.
And they vote how?
www.britishsoapawards.tv, and then go through the categories and vote for your faves.
Alison, love you to death. Thanks for that.
Love you too. See ya.